Good afternoon. You're listening to Eye on the Valley right here on CIVL 101.7 FM, broadcasting to the Fraser Valley, broadcasting from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotsford campus on the traditional and unceded territory of the Stolo people. I have a very special episode for you, an interview with former finance minister and former minister of health, Mike DeYoung, MLA for Abbotsford West, and we will be talking about the crime situation in the Fraser Valley and all across British Columbia and the doctor shortage that BC faces. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I have the great privilege and pleasure to be joined by Mike DeYoung, MLA for Abbotsford West, and also the former finance minister of British Columbia and the former minister of health. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Sarjeet, always a pleasure to be on the program. Thanks for having me.
My very first question for you is about crime in British Columbia. As you know, we have been seeing an uptick in crime in the Fraser Valley and also across British Columbia. What role do you think repeat offenders are playing in the uptick?
Well, I think uptick might be a bit of an understatement. We have seen a dramatic increase in violent crime, in assaults, to the point where people in Abbotsford, in the Fraser Valley, right across British Columbia, really, no longer feel safe in their own communities, and that's not acceptable. And as you pointed out, Sarjeet, a lot of that violent crime is being perpetrated by what we call repeat or prolific chronic offenders. And that is where I think the government, the former Attorney General, now Premier Eby, have failed British Columbians dramatically.
What kind of policy do you think the government of BC have to implement to improve the crime situation, not only in the Fraser Valley, but across British Columbia as a whole?
The first thing they need to do, Sarjeet, is to accept that there is an issue. And throughout his 5 years as Attorney General, Mr. Eby denied there was even an issue. And as a result, actually contributed to the worsening of the situation. People are being charged for violent offenses. And yet, you know, an important feature of our justice system is the presumption of innocence. And I'm a strong believer in that principle as someone who used to practice criminal law both for defendants and on the prosecution side. But when someone has been charged and convicted 10, 20, 30, 40 times in the last year, there is a real pattern. And asking for that person to be detained in jail pending their next trial is not unreasonable and is something that unfortunately has not taken place. So we see this phenomenon called catch and release, where the police are arresting someone, recommending they be charged with an assault, someone who has been convicted repeatedly in the past for similar offenses, and within 12 hours they're back on the street reoffending. And that is something Mr. Eby has refused to acknowledge and has really refused to do anything about.
Do you think police forces across the province need to hire more police officers to deal with this problem?
Well, there's always a policing element, but what I am hearing from my conversations with police officers on the street is just how discouraged they are that when they do arrest someone that they have arrested 20 times previously, that within 12 hours they are released back on the street and reoffending. So for police, I think what they would say is the justice system has to work hand in hand. There is the investigative and public safety dimension that the police provide. But if the remainder of the justice system, the prosecutorial service, the courts themselves, aren't placing the safety of the public at the top of the priority list, then all the work the police do will be for naught.
And I believe you were the Attorney General also when you were in government. So if you had this opportunity to be Attorney General once again, how would you handle the situation differently?
Well, first and foremost, what I told then Attorney General Eby back in the spring, some 7, 8, 9 months ago, is the Attorney General has the authority to issue formal directives to the prosecutorial service. Not necessarily with respect to individual cases, but with respect to particular types of cases. And I said then, and I say now, that formal directives to the prosecution service about the circumstances in which they must apply to the courts for the detention of individuals is warranted. Now look, at the end of the day, it's the courts and the presiding judges who make the decision. The prosecution service can only ask. But if they don't ask, these chronic repeat offenders aren't going to be detained. And I'm going to say one other thing, Sarjeet, because sometimes I frequently hear people like Mr. Eby, who's now the premier of the province, not an insignificant role that he plays, talk about the linkage between substance abuse and mental illness and criminal behavior. And there is undoubtedly an element of that. But there are also people out there, Sarjeet, who are bad people. And it has nothing to do with mental illness or substance abuse. There are people out there who are chronic offenders who have chosen purposely to lead a life of crime. They don't want to work. They don't want to draw a paycheck like regular folks do. And there aren't a lot of those people, but there are people like that. And quite frankly, after they have demonstrated for the 10th, 20th, 30th time that they refuse to live by the rules of society, they need to be locked up.
And another problem British Columbia is facing right now, and you know that, being in Victoria and asking questions of the government, is the doctor shortage across British Columbia, and not only in the Fraser Valley, but across British Columbia. How would you deal with it differently if you guys were in power?
A couple of things. First of all, when you have a shortage, you need to train and recruit more. And over a dozen years ago now, more than a dozen years ago, the government that I was part of doubled the number of medical school spaces in British Columbia. Now, it probably needs to be doubled again, but for 5 years, the present government, the present health minister have talked about it. Talked about the problem. They haven't done anything to fix it. Now we hear they may finally get around to opening an additional medical school, but that is still years down the way. Why they didn't do that sooner is beyond me. The other thing we can do is expedite the credentialing of foreign trained physicians who come from some of the best schools in the world. And yet, it is almost impossible for them to acquire the credentials they need to practice medicine here in Canada and here in British Columbia. And there's no excuse for that, and it's something that needs to be fixed.
The government just recently announced a new medical school to be opened in the SFU campus in Surrey. Do you think there needs to be more schools that need to be considered to be open, especially here in the Fraser Valley?
Look, I don't know why it took them 5 years to figure out that we need more medical training capacity. And of course, this is a government, this NDP government, has been very good at announcements and very short on delivery. So, unfortunately, with this announcement, I think we're still 10 years away from the first graduates of that SFU medical school actually practicing medicine. That's how long this is likely to take, which is why, by the way, I believe we should be, in the short term, addressing the situation with internationally trained medical folks, so foreign-trained doctors, and a lot of British Columbians, by the way, and Canadians that go abroad to schools in the UK and Europe and the United States and elsewhere and get trained and want to come back here and practice medicine in Canada and in British Columbia, and are blocked from doing so. So that is a shorter-term solution. We've always got to ensure that our medical training spaces, including residencies, by the way, because that's a big part of the equation as well, is keeping up with the demands of our population. There are a million British Columbians who don't have a family doctor, Sarjeet, and that's unacceptable.
If I can ask you a question about the Fraser Valley flooding that we had last year. We celebrated the one-year anniversary. We didn't celebrate it, but we had the first-year anniversary of the Fraser Valley flooding last in November, and some farmers are still waiting for compensation. What should the government do to better address that situation?
It's simply deplorable that it has taken as long. You and I both know families who continue to wait to receive any kind of meaningful assistance from the government. And when family farms include family homes, and of course, there was a trauma that extended both economically and emotionally when your home is 10 feet underwater. But for those farmers, even making decisions about whether to replant crops that have been compromised, berry fields that have been compromised, that will never come back to full production, is dependent on a timely response from the government and timely assistance from the government. They just haven't seen it. And whilst you're right, we did actually celebrate the response from the community and the support that flowed from the community during that terrible time 1 year ago. We are certainly not celebrating the failed response from governments to providing people with timely support and assistance.
And what is your final message to people listening to this interview today, not only in the Fraser Valley, but across British Columbia?
Sarjeet, it's, I guess, a feature of being an opposition MLA to focus on criticism and negativity and what's going wrong. But as the snow falls here in Abbotsford, as it is probably falling across most of the province, I hope people will take a moment over the course of the holiday season that we're heading into to consider just how fortunate we are. And for all of the problems we face, all of the challenges that confront us, I can't think of a better place to be. Take some time, celebrate your family, your loved ones, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much, sir. I know you guys are so busy in the legislature right now, so thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule.
Thanks for this,
Sergey. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Eye on the Valley. Join me again next week right here on CIVL 101.7 FM as I have another great episode for you.